Welcome to The Money Show on this Wednesday night. Time for our Shapeshifter this week. And lots of you have been absolutely furious, particularly food retailers, of their indiscriminate use of plastic packaging. And you know which ones are worst at it, especially single-use plastics, the stuff that goes into landfill and sits there for a millennia. Woolies recently joined us and told us that they were starting to tackle this packaging issue seriously and would seek to eradicate much of the plastic that you currently lob into landfill over the next couple of years, including stopping selling and supply plastic drinking straws, for example. And you think, hold on a second, but I don't use many drinking straws. They're evil. They get into the system and they really don't break down. And it's tough to do that at scale. I get it. I mean, as a large corporation, I would have, and especially a company like Woolies, which talks about the good business journey, I would have loved for them to have started this good business journey a lot longer ago. But yeah, the fact that they're starting now is good. But there are lessons that certainly places like Woolies can learn from the likes of Paul Rubin, the owner and founder of a company called Nude Foods. You got clothes on, which is good. It's a good start.
I do.
Which is a good start. The nude food concept, just explain it.
Bruce, there was a definite need for an alternative to, like you say, the traditional supermarkets where things are generally quite overpackaged. So the concept really is a bulk goods store, which is completely plastic-free.
So if anybody's been to the U.S. and they've gone to Columbus Circle, which is in the center of New York, for example, and have found a Whole Food store in there, Whole Food stores in the U.K. and Germany's got lots of sort of versions of the same sort of thing. You go and there are bins of apples and bins of onions and bins of garlic. There's nothing packaged conveniently in a package of 3 or 10 or whatever the case might be.
Yes, absolutely. So this is a concept that's up until now hasn't really existed in South Africa. The concept of bulk goods stores has been around in other parts of the world for quite a few years, but in the last 6 or 7 years, the zero waste movement has been formalized and has kind of come to the foreground, and that's really taken the concept of a bulk goods store to the next level.
Is zero waste real, or is it a target? I mean, is it possible to do a zero waste business?
It was founded by Bea Johnson, who's a California resident. She launched a blog called Zero Waste Home in 2011, which then became a best-selling book, I think, 2 years later. It's definitely achievable. But I think the objective isn't to try and achieve it overnight. It's really to take smaller steps along the path and try to reduce your eco footprint as much as possible.
Now, you've been in business for 6 months.
Correct.
You have never worked in retail. You've never worked with food.
No.
What made you do something as mad as giving up a proper job and going into something you've never done with a commodity that you've never worked with professionally?
I think to answer that, I would need to give you a bit of my personal backstory. So
sure.
About 6 years ago, I went through quite a dramatic lifestyle change. I was living in Johannesburg. I was working in corporates.
You're a marketer by training, yeah?
Business management marketing background. And my lifestyle was quite stressed, not enough sleep, living on coffee, eating very unhealthily, lots of way too much meat, processed foods. And I actually suffered a physical burnout, and I needed to relook at my lifestyle quite seriously. And through that transformation, that journey, I started living a plant-based diet lifestyle and eating a lot more whole foods and organic fresh foods. And what occurred to me through living that type of lifestyle is that I was looking after my physical well-being by living and eating this way, but the amount of single-use plastics and other packaging that I was accumulating every time I went shopping, I really wasn't looking after my environment or the planet. So I think anyone living that type of lifestyle starts to realize the same thing, and I think that's where this more kind of mindful, thoughtful approach to to shopping and pursuing a zero waste lifestyle has been born from.
If I walked into your nude food store, and you've only got one store at this stage, which is, if you know Cape Town at all, you drive down the M3 motorway and you come towards town and you've got Woodstock on the right hand side, and there's a sign on the left hand side that says Zonnebloem, which isn't just a wine label, it's an actual part of Cape Town, sort of close to District 6, that sort of part of town. That's where you have a single store.
Yeah, so it's actually the East City Precinct. So we're just off Harrington Street, in number 5 Constitution Street. So that entire area is going through quite a interesting transformation. It has a great entrepreneurial flair. So a lot of the stores in that area are not chain stores or franchises. They're independent traders. Guys like Camille Coffee or New York Bagel or Charlie's Bakery, so they're destination stores. They're well established brands. They're very much on the cutting edge of innovation.
Because here's the risk, I suppose, is that you're not going to have a huge market. You're going to have a very dedicated and committed market of people, and I'm sure a growing market as people become more self-aware and aware of the consequences of the way in which they live. People can come into an area and actually knock off multiple things on the list that they need to do, as opposed to simply having to find you in a busy street somewhere and actually turn you individually into that destination.
Absolutely. But I think, Bruce, I think the market's going to grow a lot quicker than any of us realize. I think this way of shopping is quite disruptive to the traditional way of grocery shopping. So if you look at other disruptive businesses, the well-known examples of like an Uber,
yeah,
or an Airbnb, people still require transport and still require accommodation. Those businesses have just provided a more efficient, economical way economical way of procuring those services. I think this type of store is going to become a lot more popular in the same way those businesses have.
Give me a visual journey into your store. I open the door. Does a little bell jingle as I open the door? It's not that old school.
No bell. Okay. It's very much an old school type store with a modern twist. The modern twist being the zero waste principles that we've really modeled the store on. So it looks and smells and feels like the type of store our grandparents would have shopped at. But we've kind of had to take a few steps back to take a big leap forward. So the first thing most people notice about our store is that it's very different to a traditional grocery store or supermarket. The lighting's softer, the music's more tranquil. There's wafts of cinnamon and cardamom pods and whatever other spices in the air. So a lot of our customers often comment on the fact that they feel much more connected to their food when they shop with us, because you're not just mindlessly grabbing some overpackaged product off the shelf and throwing it into your shopping cart. You're actually considering what you're buying. It's a much more tactile or somatic experience, because you get to pour the product into a container. You hear it land in the container, you can see it, you can smell it, and you can also therefore consider how much of each product you're needing to buy. So it's a very different experience to the more traditional supermarket. There's a lot more natural light. We've got fresh plants in the space.
And is your requirement in terms of the stuff you stock, that it should be sourced ethically as well? So the organic sort of product, and you've personally went on a plant-based diet. Do you sell meat, for example? If you do sell meat, does it have to be organic, and does it have to be slaughtered with love, if there is such a thing?
So Bruce, we've steered away from things like fish and meat. We're not a purely vegan store. We're a vegetarian store. So we do stock things like honey, eggs, mm-hmm. and dairy. But our foods are all completely non-GMO, and they're whole foods, which means that they're unprocessed, they're unaltered, they're as close to their original form as possible.
How hard is it to source that stuff? I mean, 10 years ago, it was practically impossible. There seems to be a far more reliable supply chain today than there was a decade ago.
Absolutely. So I think that there are more and more local growers and farmers providing these types of foods. What isn't available locally is obviously available via import. But I think it's becoming a lot easier to source those kinds of foods.
Paul Rubin is my guest this evening, owner and founder of a business called Nude Food. They've got a store in Zonnebloem in Cape Town and soon to be launching a second. And that's when life becomes particularly interesting. But yeah, how do you get your suppliers on board? How do you get everybody pulling in the same direction? And what happens when the apple gets bruised because it's not packed in cellophane and polystyrene and suddenly the food doesn't look as good as we used to? Maybe it's just a little bit too real, but maybe that's what the market wants. We'll talk about that in just a moment. With reference to the conversation I was having earlier with Colin Cullis, and we were talking about phosphates and phosphorus and the importance of phosphates in mass food production. The unique one on Twitter says, really, Bruce, we're talking manure and urine on The Money Show. Horrified. There's a saying from the north of England, where there's muck, there's money. So, yes, it's muck. And where there is muck, yes, there is most certainly money. Where there is good food, there's also some money, we hope. Paul Rubin, the owner and founder of Nude Foods, in business for 6 months. He had an epiphany after having a change of life, that really hectic Joburg lifestyle, had a burnout, and changed the way he was eating. Then got irritated with the places from which he was buying his food and decided, fine, I'll do it myself. And lots of people have said, thank you, Paul Rubin, for doing that yourself. So much so that he's opening a new store fairly soon in Newlands. I mean, Newlands, for people who don't know it, in Joburg, is sort of Parkhursty, I suppose, and villagey and quaint and nice. And that's, I suppose, your market.
Absolutely.
John in El Cape Town Studio is going to push a button and switch your microphone on. Now you can say absolutely again and we'll act like it never happened.
So yeah, the Newlands area is a nice wooded area. The center we're opening is called Montebello, and it's a arts and crafts center, so it very much fits into the ethos and the feel of our store.
Okay, and your market, is it a wealthy market? It, you know, one question from Daniel on the SMS line is, how does what you sell compare to what one might get in a Woolies, for example?
So Bruce, I'm very glad you asked that, and that's a question I get asked a lot. So it's very interesting because most people have immediately just assumed that we're a niche store and therefore our products are priced at a premium, but this actually is not the case. So the first thing to note is that products are sold by weight, which means you can buy anything from a teaspoon to a kilogram of a grain or a legume or a seed or a spice. There's a huge saving in that. So you aren't held ransom to a minimum quantity that you would purchase. So I have a lot of people who come into the store daily and buy just the ingredients for that night's dinner. And the saving there is obviously there's an immediate cost saving, but you also don't have products sitting in your pantry going off after a couple of months.
And you're also getting, I suppose, your ingredients at a premium sort of grade, whereas, I mean, Michael McIntyre, the comedian, has got a lovely skit talking about the spice rack, and the spices are talking to each other, and you know, most of the spices in your spice rack haven't been seen for years.
Absolutely.
Got Chinese five spice, and you don't know why you bought it. It was for a recipe 10 years ago, and actually, spices don't go off, but they lose their zing. And so if you're buying the Chinese spice for your Chinese meal tonight and you come in and get 3.2 grams, that's what you're going to use.
It makes a lot of sense. Because of that, and because of the fact that we actually buy our products in bulk, we've wanted to make ourselves as accessible to the broadest possible market as possible. So our pricing is very competitive.
I get you on that particular point. Also, you're not processing stuff, so you're not chopping things up and putting them into convenient microwave bags. You're not adding, you're not adding the value from that perspective.
Absolutely.
And that's where a lot of the retailers put their markups on.
For sure. So we buy as close to source as possible. So products available locally, we will buy directly from farms. Those imported will buy directly from importers. What that means is that things aren't repackaged three or four times before they actually hit the retail shelf. So there's a lot of saving there. There's obviously the saving on the cost of the packaging, which doesn't exist. So yeah, absolutely.
What do you do with wastage? Because you talk about the zero waste movement. it's almost inevitable that you are going to have some shrinkage. You're going to have some damage as a result of somebody picks up an apple and it slips out their hand and they sneak it back into the pile and take another one that they didn't drop.
Absolutely. So the 5 R's of zero waste that were formulated by Beer Johnson are refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, and rot. Rot being composting.
Right.
And what I realized when setting up this business is that that was a great framework or structure to actually base the business model on, because it's basically just a framework for efficiency. So we very much live those 5 R's within our the way we run the business on a daily basis. So for example, fresh produce that doesn't sell, We repurpose it, we make into organic vegetable soup, or we ferment it, or we create sauerkraut or kimchi from it.
But again, it's taking a very logical series of steps into this principle of zero waste. Do you have a massive corporate ambition? I mean, is this going to be South Africa's Whole Foods? What is your goal with this? To exist happily, to change some lifestyles, or you want to be huge?
I'm not sure about huge, but we definitely want to increase our footprint and increase our accessibility to more people around the country. So that we've been flooded in our first few months. We've been flooded with requests for franchise opportunities. So that's something we're seriously considering. So we're still exploring that option and putting in some of the initial groundwork of potentially offering a franchise opportunity to people, purely because this isn't something we can roll out ourselves across an entire
I'm assuming country. You've used your own money to start this. You don't have big investors. You don't have private equity guys lining up the door saying, all right, let's take this and make it into the next ShopRite.
Absolutely. So currently we're self-funded, so we don't have venture capitalists or investors on board at the moment.
Not yet. I'm sure there's a vegetarian venture capitalist somewhere that gets you.
Well, absolutely. The term I use is an eco-investor, because if we were to bring an investor on board, it would have to be somebody who shares this type of culture and buys into the ethos of what we're trying to do, and not just somebody looking for a straight return on investment, although I'm sure we could offer quite a decent one.
Now, if you want to see what the shop looks like, coincidentally, and it is pure coincidence, I want you to think that we are branding and marketing and production geniuses, we're good at this stuff. Coincidentally, if you go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/BruceBusiness, you'll find a video that my colleagues at EWN have done. It's called Synchronicity in the World of Media, all about Nude Foods. So they popped into the Zonnebloem store of Nude Foods and they interviewed Paul and they filmed all of the different cool big glass jars and bottles and all of the what you can find at Nude Foods, and you'll learn more there all about Nude Foods. facebook.com/BruceBusiness. The video is up on the Money Show's Facebook page. My thanks to Paul Rubin, the owner and the founder of Nude Foods, for joining us this evening on the Money Show.
Thanks, Bruce.